The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey, hey guys, this is Joni Brown, the host of the Mixed Babble podcast. Welcome back. I'm happy that you're back this week to join me for a little bit of an old conversation, but some new conversation pieces as well. I wanted to give an update. I know that I discussed on the last episode with my husband on our fertility journey with the 3 miscarriages. And I did do a bonus episode to let you know how that HSG test went. And since then, I've spoken to the doctor, and I am being asked to take another test. So it's so crazy. I was so nervous about the first one. I did it, and I have to do it again. This time, instead of the HSG test with the dye, they're going to be doing it with saline. So I mentioned that the doctor mentioned he saw a bubble, and I suppose based on what they told me and what I looked up myself, that can happen sometimes where, you know, when kind of like when you blow bubbles through a straw, I suppose, if I had to explain what that's like, you get a bubble sometimes. And with them pushing dye, they think they may have pushed a bubble as well, but they don't know for sure. And I guess it happens pretty regularly. But with that being said, I have to do another test. But instead of dye, they're going to use saline so they can see if that bubble, quote unquote, is still there. If it's still there, then they know it's not a bubble and that it's probably like a polyp or something. So I don't know. I'm just, again, when you're in this, you just have to go with the flow. And sometimes that flow isn't the best flow, but you got to do what you got to do for the end goal, like I've said. So I wanted to give you an update on that with me. Now, my husband last week also did the chromosome test, which was via blood work. He has not received those results as yet. So we're waiting on that. They said that could take up to 2 weeks. And for anyone that's doing the chromosome tests, those can be a little iffy just for the fact that, and I don't mean the results themselves, I mean the test, because some insurances won't cover it, I suppose, and some do. I guess they have to determine if it's medically necessary, but I mean, I don't know how many people are doing chromosome tests just for fun, so who knows how they look at that, but that's something that you want to consider if that's the route you have to take. You got to make sure that your doctor lists it as something that is needed. Otherwise, it will be coming out of your pocket. And I don't know how much it costs out of pocket, but I heard it's not cheap. But again, you know, cost and things like that is relative. I mean, what could be expensive to one person is a drop in the bucket for the next. So I don't know. I really don't know how much it costs altogether. That's just something to keep in mind if you are on the path of trying to, you know, cross all your T's and dot all your I's. That is required in the process, I guess, because that's what was told to us by the fertility specialist that we are going to. One of the things that I wanted to kind of address based on the last conversation I had with my husband, I didn't take the time to address in our conversation when he said that he didn't want to bring up the miscarriage to me unless I brought it up. And I understand how that could be difficult to do because it's one of those things that it's so sensitive that if the person that's really dealing with it doesn't want to talk about it, and it's not even something they're thinking about at the moment, like why bring it up? I get that. But I do think that partners should say, I would like to talk about this when you're ready. At least give that proposal so that they know that it is something that they want to discuss, that you want to discuss with them. It is important because I at times felt that way. And when you don't communicate with each other, that will, that could be an issue. But like I said to Nate, luckily for him, I have no problem being like, hey, let's talk about this. But if you aren't like me in that way and you're waiting for the other person to bring it up and they never do, that could be hurtful and or seem like they don't care. So I think it's important that you just know the type of partner you're with. Because Nate knows that if it's something I want to talk about, I'm going to bring it up. Almost in the sense of like, I don't care if you're ready to talk about it, which can be, it can seem insensitive. Like, I'm ready to talk about it, so let's talk about it. But just, it's important to know the partner that you're with because everyone is different. Some partners want you to bring it up because they'll never bring it up unless you do. So it just depends on who you're with. But I wanted to address that because he said, he made that statement and I didn't really stop to address it in the conversation. And after the fact, I thought about it, like, it would have been helpful to bring that up. Now, one of the things that I've noticed over the past week since airing that episode, I've had quite a few people reach out to me off of social media. I've posted it. They've either DM'd me or texted me, called me. So it's definitely people that are in my personal life that obviously have a way of reaching me. And it's people that I didn't even know were going through miscarriages or infertility issues. And that is really why I'm talking about this so openly and freely, is because I do want to remove that stigma from the conversation of, I have to deal with this alone and no one else is going through this but me. It took me about 3 years before I started talking about it. So really, it's really been a topic of conversation in my life for the last 2 years, other than people that know me closely. And the people that have reached out to me have had their own struggles. Like I've said, some people aren't ovulating at all. They don't have regular periods and all that. The other person just can't get pregnant for whatever reason with her husband. And they've reached out and they've said thank you for sharing that, and you're so brave and whatnot. And I don't feel brave. I don't feel special that I am able to talk about it. It makes me sad for them that they feel that they can't. And I know they're listening and you know who you are. But if you have people in your life that love you, you're going to have a support system. One of them actually right now is expecting because she went through some of the tests that I'm currently going through in the process last year, and she is about 20 weeks pregnant. So that is so exciting, and that actually makes me really happy. And that's another reason why I want to share these stories, is because I have faith and I'm being optimistic. When this happens for us, I want to be able to tell you guys about that story so that if your story is even remotely close to mine, you know that there is some hope. I love looking up the stories on YouTube and hearing stories from people in my personal life because it does give you hope when you hear them. So, I hope people don't mind that I'm talking about it, but it is my journey, it is my life. This is real, and I never want to portray that my husband and I have this perfect relationship, this perfect marriage. I'm sure we'll be on here talking about how to deal with, disagreements in a relationship and whatnot eventually, because that's real. I recently saw something a celebrity posted on Instagram that they have never raised their voice at each other. And, happy anniversary. We've never raised our voice at each other. We've never argued or whatever. And people that say shit like that, shut the fuck up. Like, that's not real. That's not realistic. That's not real life. Like, Nate and I don't agree on everything. How fucking weird would that be if we did? Like, what? So I don't ever want to portray, like, I post all the time, I love my husband, he's great, because those things can be true. And more than one thing can be true. He can be great, he can be loving, he can be the sweetest person, but then he can also be an ass. Just like I can also be an ass. We all have facets to us. I always joke that I'm a fucking onion. I got layers. Like, if we got along all the time, that'd be so stupid. I can't. Sorry, I just went on a rant, but shit like that pisses me off. I actually had somebody say that before, like years ago, like, oh, we never argue and we're so great. And then, like, a month later, they broke up. I'm like, oh, for somebody that never argue, that's weird that y'all didn't work out. You seem so perfect. So, anyway, whatever. Moving right along. So, today I wanted to discuss destination addiction. What I mean by that is, those people, or it might be you, it used to be me, because I try to be conscious of it. So it used to be me, where you're like, it's Monday and I just can't wait for Friday night at 6 o'clock because I'll be out of work and I can start my weekend and I can have a drink and blah, blah, blah. It's so important that you're not wishing your life away. And I'm pausing here for a reason, because I want you to just think about that. Every week, you're like, man, I can't wait for the weekend. You're living for the weekend. So what happens to the other 5 days? They are just what? You're just a robot through Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday are your lifeblood, and then you rinse and repeat. That's not a good life. And before you know it, you're at the end. And you're not going to remember any of the shit that happened in between, because you only remember the weekends. So, and destination addiction also isn't just that. It has a lot also to do with, I'll be able to do this when I do this. So let me rewind. When I was a child, I could not wait to turn 16. So between, the ages of, I don't know, 13 to 16, that 13-year-old age, you're ready to, be independent and you think you're grown and you're not. So I could not wait to be 16, because actually, sorry, 15, because 15 is when you get your permit, your driver's permit. And you're like, when I turn 15, I'm gonna be able to drive with somebody in the passenger seat. Oh, God. And then you get there, and then you're like, okay, now I can't wait till I'm 16, because then I'll be able to get my license and drive by myself. So then you do that. Then you can't wait till you're 17, because now you get to go to the movies, rated R movies, without having to be accompanied by an adult. Then, and you see where I'm going with this. Then it's 18 because when you're 18, you think you're f officially an adult, but you're like a pre-adult because you really still can't do shit. Like, yeah, you can move out and you can get married legally, but everything else, it's like, oh, you can buy lottery tickets. So, yay, I guess. But then after you turn 18, now it's, I can't wait till I'm 21 because now I get to drink. So, as you can see, like, and after 21, what the fuck is there to look? Okay, this is gonna get a little dark because I don't wanna say what the fuck is there to look forward to, but you know what I mean. What's the next, like, thing that you're waiting and can't, you know, and you anticipate? I don't know, 25 so you can rent a car? Like, don't know what comes after that. So it's always something. You know, it's always something. So after you turn 25, I know for me, I had like a quarter midlife crisis at 25. I was like, "Man, I'm fucking 25." And I look back and I just don't even remember much because I kept anticipating the next thing. And now that I'm here, I guess now what? And that's when I started being like, fuck, the next thing is 30 and I'm gonna be old. 30 is not old, kids. It does do a little something to you mentally because you still feel like you're not that age. You still feel like you're in your 20s. You know, funny story. When I turned 30, I'm not even shitting you. I'm not kidding. When I turned 30, I was like, am I even able to wear like colored nail polish anymore? Are people gonna be like, oh, you're trying to be young. Look at you with like your hot pink nails. You're too old for that. I legit had those thoughts. And I remember painting my nails some color that I thought was very like young and fresh and being like, are people gonna be like, look at her old ass trying to be young? Like, what the fuck? I clearly have some weird thing going on with age. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, destination addiction. Stop living for the weekend. Stop living for the next thing. This really is a stop and smell the roses conversation because it's important. Those days add up to years. And if you are living a life that does not make you happy, you need to reevaluate that and start putting things in place that will. So, well before this pandemic happened, when I bought my house, when we bought our house, I decided that I was going to redo and decorate and make it our sanctuary. Because that to me made me happy. We repainted the house, we redid the floors, and I even installed teak wood flooring out on the porch because I was like, I'm going to make this place, when I am home, the most relaxing place for me. I never want to feel that I need to leave my house or, yeah, I don't want to feel like I need to leave my house to go somewhere else to feel relaxed. So that's why we invested our time and money into our home so that this place could be a sanctuary. Because a lot of people, you know, want to go to a hotel to feel relaxed. Like, I want my house to feel that way all the time. I don't want to es have to escape my life. And that's another reason why, you know, some people have addiction issues and whatnot because they're trying to escape their reality. So if your reality does not make you happy, whether that's the things around you or the people around you need to reevaluate what those things are that are around you so that you can start putting things in place that will make you happy. But I will be right back. So, we're here discussing destination addiction and wishing your life away. One of the biggest things that I can say is there's nothing worse than looking back with the shoulda, the wouldas and the couldas, all the things that you wish you had done during that time. The time is going to pass, whether or not you're doing what you love. So why not invest that time into the things that will make you happy? And I don't want this to sound like a TED talk, but it's something that I have done. And I blinked, and now I'm turning 34 this year. And it's always the things that you put off till the next year, don't waste your life. Like, obviously, I'm just my brain right now, I'm thinking about it, and it just makes me sad the things that we do to ourselves, and we're not really enjoying the people around us or our lives. We're not living in the moment. We're not. And even now, it's even more so because guess what? I'm about to sound old as fuck when I say we are in the technology age. And there are many times where I'll say to my husband, like, let's put our phones away, like while we're eating dinner or on the front porch having our coffee in the morning so that we can be present. Just things like that. Little changes, little big changes. We are so connected to our phones that we're not paying attention. We're missing the meat of the conversations that we're having with the people around us. So, back to what I was saying regarding the destination addiction. One of the things that I would suggest, if this is something that you want to move away from, I was going to say kick. If this is something you want to kick and get away from, I would suggest that you start doing the things that you've been thinking about doing. And a lot of the time, the things that we are thinking about doing, the reason why we are putting them off is because they are intimidating, they make you anxious, or they scare you in some type of way. Again, I have to preface this with make sure it's healthy, safe, and all the things. So when I'm talking about these things, I'm thinking about goals. I'm not thinking about like, go do the drugs that scare you. So let me make sure I'm clear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the healthy exercises. I don't mean physical exercises. I mean the things that you want to try. You want to learn how to play the tuba. You want to learn how to salsa dance. You want to, a couple years ago, and I know it sounds like I'm kind of going off here, but a couple years ago, I decided, or it chose me because at the time I wasn't working. So I was like, you know what? I could use some extra money. My husband, I told you, is a DJ. And at the time, I wasn't working, and he had a gig that he wasn't able to do because he was already booked to do something else. Now, mind you, it was just a birthday party, so I was like, he actually came to me. I wasn't like nothing. He came to me and was like, "Would you consider doing this?" Now, the fact that he had faith in me to do it, I guess it's really cool, and I appreciate it, 'cause I'm like, you definitely got more faith in me than I got in myself, 'cause what? So, we planned it out, and I wouldn't say trained. Yeah, he had me doing push-ups and like, no, we didn't train. We had lessons, if you will. And I went, and I was terrified, terrified. I thought I was gonna start forgetting the things in the moment that he had taught me. I was freaking out. Like, if I could have like crawled into a hole, I would have, because oh my God, I was so, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done. Because when you DJ and or do a performance in any sort, all eyes are on you. And a lot of the times what people don't see in the DJ world is there's a lot of buttons, there's a lot of, BPMs, there's a lot going on, and everyone can tell for the most part when you fuck up. So here I am at this birthday party with my DJ equipment, sitting at this table, fucking cold sweats. But I did it. I did it. And when I was done and I got paid, I was like, yo, they paid me for whatever the fuck I just did. And I went home, and on my drive home, I was like, oh my God, I did that. I fucking did that. I didn't even have faith in myself, and I did it. And I was pretty good. Let me just preface that. They weren't paying me because they were sorry for me. I was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't like a professional, but I did it. Just like I said, I think that's also why I was so proud of myself with starting this podcast, is because I was like, it's something I wanted to do, and I did it, and I'm doing it. And whatever that means, I'm doing it, and I can say that I've done it. So do the things that scare you. And after I did that, I felt empowered. I felt proud. There's nothing that anyone can ever do or say to me that's going to give me that feeling that I did that. I had a little bit of assistance from him. He wasn't there, but I meant leading up to it. I did have some assistance, but when it came down to game time, I fucking did that shit myself. And for those people that are too scared to take that leap on something that they want to do, what's the worst that can happen? Seriously, what's the worst that can happen? You do it, it doesn't work out, and now you know. But living with the, if I had, or maybe I could have been great, that is a worse feeling to live with than to say you did it, you didn't like it, or it wasn't for you. Just do it. And in life, we're all learning and trying new things to see what we like. We do that with people. That's why you date, to see what you like in a person, to see what you want in a partner, to see if you want to even, if marriage is for you. It does not hurt to do something and then see that it's not for you. So, one book that I would suggest to people right now is Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. That name might sound familiar. She did a little thing called Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. You might have heard of it. Okay. I listened to her book, her audiobook, about a 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. It's a good one because I might even listen to it again, because it definitely it has kind of like a lean in feel for the other people that know that book. But Year of Yes helped me a lot. And the short version of the book is, Shonda Rhimes, busy woman, obviously she's running an empire. And she would always say no to things that people would offer her to do, whether it was go to some award or, speak at a seminar or speak at a college, whatever. She would always say no. And her sister actually called her out one day and was like, I think she was invited to go to some huge thing where like the president at the time, Barack Obama and Michelle, were going to be there. And she was just like, yeah, I don't know, I'm good. I don't really want to go. And I guess her sister was around at the time that the call had come in, and she had turned it down and was like, you never say yes to anything. And so I guess that resonated with her. And she was like, what do you mean I never say yes? So she's like, you always, her sister saying this to her, she's like, you always say no, no matter what is offered to you, even if you want to do it, you always say no. So she took it upon herself to say yes to all offers and recommendations and whatnot from people. I'm sure she had guidelines. Again, safe, guys, safe. So anyway, so she started saying yes to these offers and invites that she was getting. And she talks about how it changed her life. she ended up doing some amazing things and meeting some amazing people. Had she said no to that invitation that she had, she would have never sat. I think she ended up sitting at the table with the president and Michelle. Like, so many amazing things can happen if you just put fear and anxiety aside. And I, too, have. I don't have debilitating anxiety, obviously, because I wouldn't be on here if I did. But I do have anxiety, and I do know when it's happening. And I try to curb that. And I also try not to let it hinder me, from my day to day. So I'm not, this is not me being like, I can go and DJ in front of a whole group of, 5,000 people. I know it's scary. I told you I was scared doing a freaking birthday party that couldn't have had more than 50 people. But I did it, and I'm here talking about it, so it didn't kill me. All right? There's that meme of the one guy from The Hangover that was like, "But did you die?" For the most part, I would hope that whatever you're doing is safe and it's not going to kill you. You will have one hell of a story to tell. Yes, we're all living in this fucking COVID life right now, but guess what? In 10 years, we're gonna have one hell of a story to tell. It sucks now, but you get to tell your kids, your future kids, your grandkids, 50 years from now about this bullshit. So it sucks, but you'll have one hell of a story to tell. But anyway, so Year of Yes, Shonda Rhimes, highly recommend. I've listened to it. I plan to listen to it again. It is good for a re-listen. So I highly, highly recommend that. But, so, guys, I'm telling you will not regret. Now, I would like to tell you that you can write in mixbabblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send in any stories, whether it's your fertility journey, advice that you may want, even advice for me, if you have any insight on the fertility journey, as I said, I welcome that because it lets me know what is in store for me, what IVF is like. I don't know. I don't even know if we're going to be doing that or not. So, if you guys have any input or advice on that for me, I don't have to always be the one giving advice, but if you have advice for me on what that journey is like, I'm sure that would help me and other people. I love hearing that. Again, it helps me in my journey as well. I want this to be a community of people sharing information. So, mixedbabblepodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out via the mixed Babble Instagram and also my personal Instagram, if you'd like to follow that as well, is blonde_blasian, BLASIAN on Instagram for the personal Insta. All right, guys, till next time, stay safe, wear your mask, and don't be an asshole. Goodbye.